morning, everyone. Special welcome if you're visiting us this morning. My name's Matt. I'm one of the ministers here. And as we look at the prophets, I'm going to pray for us. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the way that you have worked throughout history, the way in which you have worked throughout the ups and downs of your people. And Father, for the way in which we see you work through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this morning that we would meet Jesus, that we would be changed, and we would become more like him. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, my grandma was placed in hospital. She had an infection that took over. She was in hospital for about 2 weeks. And on Thursday of last week, we went down really to say goodbye to her. She would die 2 days later on the Saturday. We had a funeral just Thursday of this week. But last week, as we went to visit her, and my parents met us in the car park, and they said, look, Granny's just been moved into palliative care. They're trying to just make her comfortable. Just let her husband have a few minutes with her, of course, my granddad, and then go up and speak to her. And I was thinking, what is it that I want to say to her? She's not a believer. What is it that I can do? Well, I want to comfort her in the 20 minutes that I have with her, speaking together. I want to comfort her. But also, knowing that time is running out, I want to warn her. I want her to warn her. She's not a believer. I want to warn her. As we come to look at the prophets, we'll see if we can sum up what all of those major and minor prophets did. God sent them as messengers to comfort and warn his people. It's the two things that they did. Time and time again, kind of in a cycle, in a pattern. They would comfort and warn his people. We looked at Isaiah and Jeremiah. We know that prophets speak the very words of God. That's how they're described. In this picture, you can kind of see one of the prophets receiving the words of God. Maybe writing them down. And he will go and he'll speak to the people. He'll go and he'll speak to the king and he will warn them. Or he'll offer words of comfort, whatever it is. He'll speak the truth to those in authority and power. He'll say this message, stop sinning or God will judge you. Well, we see that in Isaiah. Hopefully you've still got that open. In Isaiah, God sends his messenger to warn his people. Isaiah actually asked them, what good are the religious things that you're doing, the sacrifices that you are doing, when you've actually forsaken God? So you see that in verse 4. They're a sinful nation, loaded with guilt, evildoers, given to corruption, that forsaken the Lord and spurned the Holy One of Israel, turning their backs on him.
Excuse me, we're all lost. Isaiah what?
Isaiah chapter 1. So we'll keep it open. Isaiah 1. Verses 1 to 11, and we'll go through it. And after that, we're going to look at Jeremiah 31, 31 to 37. So right there in chapter 1, the prophet speaks, and he speaks the very words of the Lord. So verse 4, you've forsaken the Lord. And he warns them, he warns his people. What good are your religious things? So even down at verse 10, speaking like the prophets do, they often use this phrase, hear the word of the Lord. You rulers of Sodom, listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me? Your sacrifices, how religious you are meaningless to God when you have forsaken him. Your hearts are nowhere near God. And he gives this warning, this image of a beaten man like a warning. And it works like this. My little daughter is 1.5. When she touched the heater, burn her hand. It's a warning. It's hot. Don't touch it. Learn the lesson. And it's like this for the Israelites. There's this picture of this man, almost the whole nation is like a man who's been beaten. So from verse 5, your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged. It's like, look, here's a picture. Learn the lesson. You're like a man who's been beaten up. The armies are coming. Death and destruction is on its way. Take the warning. Take this warning from God. You have forsaken him, and now you're being judged. And the empires of Assyria and Babylon, they come in and they sweep in and they destroy the land. What they hold dear, the temple. Here's a warning. There's a warning in this for us. If you don't believe that God exists, or if you live as if God doesn't exist, there's a warning here. Death, destruction are coming. If you think that you can please God by being religious, attending church, giving to charity, just by doing good things, and your heart is far from him, here is a warning. Death and destruction are coming. Isaiah here is God's messenger who is warning his people. If you flip forward to Jeremiah, chapter 31, we have a picture of a prophet who is God's messenger who is offering comfort to his people. And this comfort has a future focus to it. God sends a messenger to comfort his people. From 33, this is from the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is to a people who are in exile, who have been judged by the Lord, and he gives this message of comfort. This is on God's heart, and this is true for us. On God's heart, God's desire is to comfort us. He wants to know us and for us to know him so deeply and intimately, as if the law and what we know about him is written on our hearts. More than that, he wants our sins, our wickedness and evil to be dealt with so much, so completely, that in 34 it says, I will forgive their wickedness. And it's dealt with so completely that it's as if God remembers their sins no more. As if God, who is omnipotent and powerful, has no memory of the sin of the people. It is completely gone and wiped out. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with something, you're weighed down by the guilt of some sin. If you're struggling to live God's way, we see clearly here that it is God's great desire for you to know him and for your sin to be dealt with and absolutely wiped away. This is the words of comfort that we have from Jeremiah. God will make you right. He will regenerate your heart and recreate your heart so much, so clearly, so powerfully, that the sin and guilt will go. Well, as Rod indicated to us before, our ultimate prophet, the prophets of all prophets, is fulfilled when Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes, God sends him to warn and comfort his people. But he does more than just teach when he warns and comforts. He actually makes it possible. He makes it possible for us to be comforted completely. When Jesus comes, he comes to warn his people. Jesus is the one who teaches and speaks on hell, on eternal death. When he speaks and teaches on that, he talks about the wide road that leads to hell and destruction. It's a warning. This is God himself walking on the earth. He says it is better that you cut off your hand if it causes you to sin rather than to go into the eternal death of hell. He talks about it as weeping, gnashing of teeth. It's an eternal fire. He warns us death and destruction are coming for all the sinfulness and wickedness of the world. He says, stop sinning or God will judge you. But we know that we cannot live the perfect life. We know that. But when God sends Jesus, it's not just to warn us, it's also to comfort us. Jesus, God's word made flesh, teaches us clearly, lives the life that we couldn't live, lives a perfect and holy life. But more than that, he dies the death that we deserved. This death and destruction that is coming, he dies that death for us. And this is the greatest comfort. Because of his death, we can dwell with him in heaven forever. It's a very famous verse. This is Jesus speaking. This is from the lips of Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. These are the words of comfort that he gives to the Jews and to the whole nation of people, including us. I am the way. If you want access to God, you want a path to heaven, I am the way. He says, I am the truth. If you want to know what God is saying, what he is speaking, I am the truth. I'm speaking the very words of God because I am God himself. And he says, I am the life. Through me, you will have eternal life. Not eternal destruction, but eternal life. In fact, I also offer you true life now, free from sin and death, from their consequences. I will give you freedom. Simply trust me with your life. When I was at the bedside of my grandma, trying to work out what to say, I want to pray with her, but I want to share the words of comfort from the Bible. I read Psalm 23. It's a psalm that she is familiar with, that she knew. She actually read it along with me from memory. And there's great promises of comfort in that psalm. So God says, I'll be with you. Even though you walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I'm there with you. He says, I prepare a place for you. He says, there'll be a table where we will feast together. That is my promise. That is words of absolute and profound comfort. And what Jesus says is that I am the way to that. I am the way for you to pass through death. I am the way for you to have a place with my Father in heaven. I am the way that you will be there at the table feasting with me. When we looked at Revelation, it's the same language that's picked up. There's great comfort for all of us who are dying. For all of us who don't know how long we have in this present life. Let me encourage you to take comfort in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus Christ. But also to hear the warning. I didn't know that my grandma only had 2 days left. But we know, because Jesus is the truth, he has the authority. He's gone and he's come back. He didn't just die, he was resurrected again. He's been to the other side, he's come back. He says, I am the truth. The promise that he makes that we'll be with him, all who believe, is sure. It's confident. When we prayed for my grandma, and Amy was there, and she asked her, she said, Granny, will you be there with us? And she said, I hope so. I hope so. It's not the same confidence and assurance that I have that God, after sending all his prophets, sends his son Jesus Christ to prove absolutely that he is God. But there's hope in that. There's a warning in that. But there's hope as well and great comfort. I want to encourage you as we think about prophecy with these words. God is sending you to warn and comfort his people. God is sending you as his messengers. I believe that God has a plan for Avalon. He's got a mission. He died,
Jesus Christ died for the whole world. And God has a mission and a plan for Avalon. We actually don't know who God's people will be. I've had a number of conversations with people who became Christian in their 60s. That's 6 decades. You can't convince someone to stop voting liberal after 6 decades. But their life can be transformed. Absolutely transformed. We don't know. You don't know who God has in his sights. But God's plan is for people in your street, at your work, in your school, in your family, to become his. To trust in his son, Jesus Christ. And he's actually uniquely positioned you at that workplace, in your family, in your street. He's uniquely placed you there to warn and to comfort with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ. God is sending you to warn his people. Sometimes you have conversations and people say, well, all roads lead to heaven. We're all on the same journey. No. Jesus says, I am the only way. I am the only truth. I'm the only opportunity for life that is eternal. There's a warning in that. We must warn people. Jesus is the only way. But God is also sending you to comfort his people. Do you know, in Jesus Christ, hell has no victory, death has no sting. In Jesus Christ, God knows you. And through Jesus Christ, you remember the prophecy, he remembers your sin no more. No matter what you're loaded up with, no matter what guilt is perhaps weighing down on your heart, that can be dealt with, absolutely. As if God can no longer remember it as he sees his perfect son when he looks at you. But there's more comfort even than that. It's great news. It's news of joy. I was reading John Calvin, and this is just a preface to a commentary that another bloke wrote, and yet there's these powerful words about the gospel. And I just want to share it with you. These are words of comfort. By the knowledge of the gospel, we are made children of God, brothers of Jesus Christ, fellow townsmen with the saints, citizens of the kingdom of heaven, heirs of God with Jesus Christ, by whom the poor are made rich, the weak strong, the fools wise, the sinner justified, the desolate comforted, the doubting sure, and slaves free. It is the power of God for the salvation of all those who believe. Incredible message of comfort and of joy. All of that is reality and truth for us now. To find great comfort in the gospel and to share that. We're uniquely positioned, uniquely placed to share that comfort with others. Why can you do that? Why are you able to do that? It's very simple. You're a saved sinner. I don't know what the view of yourself is, but if your view of yourself is too high, you think, I'm a good person, I'm okay, I don't need any of this. Perhaps you know people. Perhaps they're in your family. I don't need any of the stuff that you rely on, mate. I don't need it. The view of yourself is to... See, take this warning. You are a sinner. We need to warn those that we know and love. Actually, you're a sinner. The view of yourself is too high. Or perhaps the view of yourself is too low. Or you know someone who's so burdened, so weighed down. I could never come to church, they say. God could never look upon me. And they need to hear the comfort that they are saved. Well, there's an offer of being a saved sinner. When they look at you, nothing special. You're just a saved sinner. If view of yourself, their view of themselves is too low. Jesus died to save them. He came down from heaven, walked on the earth, lived that perfect life, and died as a sacrifice for them. For you, take great comfort in that. That's how much you are loved. That's how special you are. That's how important it was to take that sin and to remove it so far away that God cannot remember it. We are saved sinners, therefore we can warn and we can comfort. And here are words of great comfort. Heaven is full of saved sinners. In fact, there's no other people. there. No other type of people in heaven, but saved sinners. Let me encourage you. God is sending you out as messengers to warn and to comfort his people. Why don't we pray? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the way that you have spoken through your messengers into history, to your people, and ultimately through both the words and the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I pray that we would live lives showing clearly that we are sinners who have been saved by your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be messengers who warn with tears in our eyes, and messengers who offer comfort, Father, with such joy that it's tangible. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.